Shabbat Shalom Parashat V'etchanan. We continue the journey of Moses. The journey stops, but the message is not yet. And we're going to hear the second part of the lecture that started last week. The beginning of the portion talks about V'etchanan and Hashem Baitei. And it continues the fact that we know that Moses won't receive the benefit, the glory, the zchut, the merit to enter the land. And he describes that we prayed to God to allow him to enter. And we talked about it in the past, about the sin or the different sins or the reasons why Moses, why Moshe is not allowed to enter the land. And in this week, we will try to cover or uncover another part of the puzzle, because it is a very hard challenge to understand how a person that was so close to God, got an inspiration from him on a regular basis, got all the prophecies on the strongest way. He wasn't a regular prophet. He was really, it's too hard to get it. How can Moses, how can Moshe, with any reason, not allow him to enter the land? The word used, and sometimes we mention the fact that the Hebrew and the English, that doesn't give you really the essence of it, is they talked about V'itanaf bi Hashem lemanchem, and God was upset at me for you. And a regular explanation means for you, because of you, meaning to blame you. And it doesn't fit Moses, right? How come a person that took responsibility on the people and so many times even said, you know, sign me off, erase me from your book, now he's going to blame them because what happened? But when you read the word in Hebrew, lemanchem, it could be written and read, not lemanchem, because of you, but for you. For you meaning not for what you did, but for you, maybe in a way that it is a merit for the people of Israel that Moses, Moshe won't be allowed to come to the land. And how is it so? Let's go to the story of Moses in the beginning, and let's see how he became the leader of the people of Israel. So we remember he is brought up in the castle of Pharaoh, and he starts from very, very low. But and there's a part there that he comes back to his home, and he finds a connection with the people of Israel, with the Hebrews. There is going to be a time that people know him to be the son of Amram and Yocheved, the brother of Aaron and Miriam. There's a phenomenon in life, and we know it from different aspects. As the prophet says, "En navi beiro," there's not a prophet in your town. You cannot be a prophet in your town. Meaning the beginning of the story of Moses comes with people that know him, know his family. Can you imagine the fact that you're walking on the streets and you're the leader of Israel and you're the prophet, and somebody calls to you, the aunt from the neighborhood, and says, "Mom, Moses, I remember you when you were a young boy." There's something that cannot really manifest itself when you just grew up with people level, on the same level. Even when you come the prophet of God, even when you come the leader, there's going to be the point that they will look at you and say, "I remember you in the kindergarten. You were so sweet. You played with my children." You understand what we're saying? In a sense, the first generation, the generation that really left Egypt with Moses, really, although they respected him, but they saw him on a very level that is maybe similar to them. Not similar, meaning they think that they can compare themselves, but at least he did not came from nowhere. He was a human being. Oh, that's the point. Moses started his life and finished his life for the first generation as a human being. They remember him. They remember him in Egypt. They remember his family. They remember where he came from. He was one like everybody else. Stronger, bigger, smarter, holier. But he was a human being. And there exactly lies the biggest challenge. Because you know that for 40 years, all the people have vanished, died. We talked about it last week. There was a decree that the whole generation that left Egypt will not enter the land. And now this is the problem. If you died in the process in the desert, and now you see the new version of Moses, the person that almost 120 years old, Imagine this holy person with his long beard connected to God, a person that we know already didn't eat and didn't drink for 40 days several times. He lives in tent, he dwells and he speaks with God. He doesn't have connections to the real world because this is a holy person. You might find him not human. In a sense, a person like that would be disconnected from the people. He will be in a place that people won't feel relate to him. He is not like one of us. He is not a human being. He is God. In a way, Moses understands that, Moshe understands that coming to the land will be a new generation of people that won't receive blessings and miracles on a daily basis. There's not going to be the manna anymore. God will be around you, but it's going to be a different kind of life. It's going to be a life of hard work. It's going to be a life of, you know, planting and working and seeding and you know, coming to the temple with your own fruits. Moshe understands there that it will be a very big challenge to be with somebody next, like Moshe as a leader, understanding and thinking or reconsidering him and his messages, somebody that is almost godlike. This is why maybe he explains on this week and says, Lemanchem, for you. You don't want to be under the leadership of somebody that you cannot relate with, that you don't see as a human being, somebody that is God himself. You can be mistaken because you never saw me on the neighborhood. You never saw me in Egypt. You are a new generation. And with that, there is a very high risk. I read once in a very strong book by Micha Goodman about this is maybe one of the basic differences from Judaism and the culture of that time. You see the pyramids and you see the way they related with their kings and their leaders, where they were godlike. They would put them in baskets and put them on pyramids and pedestals, and they would make them a godlike figure. And Moses was a person that led the people of Israel and did the whole track of 40 years and more of that in Egypt, and yet died to the extent you don't know where is he buried. He's a person, he started as a man, he finishes as a man, and you cannot go and pray for benefits in his grave. A human being from beginning to the end. This is a nice situation to understand why God's mercy on the people should have been exactly that. Leave Moses behind and not entering the land. And if it's not good enough, there's another explanation that our sages give, and I think that shares a new light. It's a light that's not necessarily positive about Moses, but there's something very strong there. And they say this follow. When you look at Moses' life and Moshe's life, there's something very weird in the fact that when he leaves Egypt, he takes with him the bones of Yosef. If you remember, Yosef asks his people to come and bury them in Egypt, in Israel. And after all the years of slavery, the sages tell story of how they found out, they knew where he was, the bones were, and he wants them to bring them into Israel. And this is exactly the point. These are two different people, two leaders. One is buried already outside of Israel, and Moses himself is going to carry the bones into Israel and not enter. The question comes in a very strong way. Why was Joseph had the merit to come and be buried in Israel and Moses didn't? Only in a small just minute we'll say this. Both of those people interacted by others and mentioned different identities. When Joseph solves the dreams, the end of the book of Genesis, the two ministers come to Pharaoh and says, there's an Hebrew boy that solved our problems, and from that he comes to be, you know, the royal advisor. But there's an Hebrew boy there. Remember, an Hebrew boy identity inside the jail. When Moses saves the Zipporah and the daughter of Jethro, they come and they say, Ish Mitzri, an Egyptian man. saved us today. Interesting. Maybe this is the difference. Our sages say that Joseph took in consideration every time, at every step in the road, even when he was in jail, even coming there after being the advisor of Potiphar. He was always an Hebrew boy. Maybe it was the way he dressed. Maybe it was the way he looked. Maybe the way he talked. But there was something in his identity that was never mixed. He was always an Hebrew boy. Something in Moses wasn't the same. Maybe it was necessary. But the adaptation of his education and the way he lived throughout his life, and maybe in the first stage, gave him some things that weren't so Hebrew-like. He was called an Egyptian man. Maybe it was the way he dressed. Maybe it was the way he looked. Maybe it was the way he talked. The girls said he's an Egyptian man. And in the way they say, just say, Hashem put it to him on a record. God says to him, something there in the process is your identity. And again, we're not judging Moses. We're not saying something bad about Moshe. But there was something there. With the stop, with the change, with a twist in your identity that didn't give you the full merit to be buried in Israel. We know the expectations from great people are greater than ours. But maybe it's something to reflect about. How much our identity, our inner identity, is being reflected by the way we look, talk, and hang ourselves. Shabbat Shalom.